Let's all go to the
lava. Welcome to the Saturday Frights Podcast. I am the Projectionist, your co-host for this radio program. Now, come, join your host, Vic Sage, as we enter the vault to once again discuss retro horror films and television programs. Explain this to me once again, Sage. You are suggesting we do additional radio broadcasts for the dear listeners?
Sort of, Projectionist. We are going to try and do mini-episodes. So for this week, I'll be talking about the times I was lucky enough to meet Jeffrey Combs. But maybe next week we'll tackle something like the 5 Best Tales from the Crypt episodes.
Pray tell, why we would do something like this, Victor?
Well, for one thing, it's fun, and it allows us to present digest-sized entertainment, as well as giving us the opportunity to discuss different things. Imagine a question and answer episode where we let folks ask you questions.
Such as whether the retroist should finally come to his senses and let me become the sole host of the Saturday Frights radio show.
Yeah, something like that. Hey, look, the recording light is on. Welcome, friends, to the first Saturday Frights matinee episode. In case you missed my co-host and I talking about it, these matinee episodes are mini-episodes for the Saturday Frights podcast. They will have no hard-set rules on length, but it should be somewhere in the 10 to 15 minutes category. Similar, in fact, with what I'm also doing for the Diary of an Arcade Employee podcast.
Yes. Your radio broadcast about those electronic one-arm bandits that those of your age appear to cherish.
You and your hatred of video games, man. Best get used to them. They're not going anywhere. Anyway, for this first episode of the Saturday Frights matinee, I thought I might talk about the 2 times I was lucky enough to meet one of my favorite actors, the esteemed Jeffrey Combs, star of films such as Reanimator and The Frighteners,
which we have discussed in past radio broadcasts, dear listeners.
That is true, Projectionist. You might also know him from his work on TV series like Star Trek Deep Space Nine, as well as Star Trek Enterprise, or the 2 short-lived 4400. Of course, Combs has also been known to lend his voice to more than a couple of animated series, too. He was the Scarecrow in later episodes of the Batman animated series, played the wise, if grouchy, Autobot medic Ratchet from Transformers Prime. Although, in regards to voice work, I will always have a soft spot for his role as The Question.
Okay, enough. Don't listen to this guy. Everything's conspiracies with him.
Not conspiracies. Conspiracy. Singular. Reaching back to ancient Egypt, there's been a single cabal of powerful individuals directing the course of human history. But the common man prefers to believe they don't exist, which aids their success.
Global warming? Military upheavals in the Third World? Actors elected to public office?
The spread of coffee bars? Germs outpacing antibiotics? And boy bands? Come on, who would gain from all this?
Who indeed?
Friends, I am pretty positive that I shared this way back in, like, 2014 with the second episode of the podcast, when we tackled Reanimator.
2014? It has taken us 5 years to produce 76 radio shows. I would think that we should have had a greater number than that by now.
Well, we did have almost a year on hiatus, my friend. As I was saying, though, I believe in the past I have explained how 1985's Reanimator was one of the two movies I first rented on VHS back in the day. Although, many have wondered if my father made a wise decision letting a 13-year-old watch this film.
You have shared in the past that your father did not truly limit what you wanted to view, yes?
Exactly. In some ways, I like to think that I was a pretty mature child, and I understood early on that while horror films were my favorite genre, I also realized they were just movies. Now, please don't get me wrong. There were many films that scared me, like 1982's Poltergeist, for example. As a 10-year-old, that one had some stuff in it that chilled me.
Isn't that the film where you found out you were afraid of dolls?
Sort of, projectionist. I was always afraid of China dolls and the like, but yeah, that blasted clown in the Tobe Hooper-Steven Spielberg joint horror film definitely put me off ventriloquist dummies. Alright, Jeffrey Combs almost immediately became one of my favorite actors. After Reanimator, I caught him and Reanimator co-star Barbara Crampton in 1986's From Beyond. Although, not on VHS in this case, but thanks to an HBO free weekend. From there, I lucked out catching him in movies like Steve Martin's The Man with Two Brains, Cyclone, Robot Jocks, as well as an episode of Freddy's Nightmares, and the 1991 Flash TV series where he runs afoul of Captain Cold, wonderfully played by Total Recall's Michael Champion. My first real job was at a local mom-and-pop video store called Movie Magic. I have an amazing amount of good memories about working there, and to be fair, for a 19-year-old film fan, having access to hundreds of movies was the greatest film education class one could hope for. As I've mentioned on the Retroist site numerous times in the past, being in a single-parent household, while I generally was able to watch what I wanted to, there were definitely cases where my father dictated what kind of movies we would see. Forget about romantic comedies or noir films, or anything with Charlie Chaplin, or even a film with subtitles. Basically, his taste ran the meat and potato variety. Westerns and action films, with a little sci-fi and horror, too. Definitely not a fan of slashers, though. Now, my father, too, became a fan of Jeffrey Combs, so we thrilled when, in 1989, Combs returned as Dr. Herbert West in Bride of Reanimator, or as Francisco in Stuart Gordon's 1991 adaptation of The Pit and the Pendulum for Full Moon Pictures. Although, speaking of that iconic studio, he was also the titular Dr. Mordred in that extremely underappreciated movie, which, I might add, started out being an adaptation of Marvel Comics' Doctor Strange.
In a Manhattan apartment, Dr. M. Tom Mordred has stood guard between our world and the dark dimensions. After centuries of waiting, evil's ultimate warrior has arrived.
Cabal is a demon who uses mortals to do his bidding.
What difference does it make if I want this dying planet?
The sorcerer is not a god.
Dr. Mordred, Master of the Unknown.
Shortly after that 1992 movie, I actually switched jobs, going from Movie Magic to a much bigger video store called Curtis Mathis, which was a local chain. At this time, although I wasn't aware of it, Jeffrey Combs was appearing in another 1992 film. This one with quite a bit larger budget than Dr. Mordred. That was Stuart Gordon's Fortress, co-starring Christopher Lambert, Kurtwood Smith, Lori Loughlin, as well as The Road Warriors' Vernon Wells. It was when Fortress came to home video that I found that Combs was in the film thanks to a little news pamphlet we handed out to patrons and met the man who would help me meet this actor. Quite frankly, his brother. To make a long story short, he was returning a Nintendo Entertainment System game that his kids had rented and kept for a couple days longer than they should have. In case you're wondering, it was 1989's Clash at Demon Head. He was good-naturedly complaining about his kids, because there was like $12 in late fees, and he offhandedly mentioned that his brother was in a movie about to come out on VHS. He pointed over to a mid-sized standee next to the checkout stations, and I noticed it was Fortress. Then, almost comically slow, I glanced up at his last name, Combs, and it was like all time had sped up and froze at once. I blurted out way too loud, "You're the brother of Jeffrey Combs. I want to shake your hand." To say that Mr. Combs was quite taken aback, maybe startled is the better word, is an understatement. After a second, he cracked a grin. "You've heard of my brother?" Then I went into the whole spiel about he was one of my favorite actors, the first time I saw Reanimator, and so on. Jeffrey Combs' brother, I think, was quite amused that this 19-year-old kid was just over the moon about his brother and his films. He even mentioned that the next time his brother popped into town to visit the family, he would be sure to bring him in and introduce me.
"I take it this introduction eventually took place."
Absolutely, projectionist. I would chat it up with Mr. Combs when he dropped in with his family, not even peppering him with questions about his brother. We just generally got along. Then one night, after organizing a stack of VHS tapes to put back on the shelf, you know, planning my route through westerns, then drama, and finally the children's section, there was a large slam on the counter, and I look up to see Jeffrey Combs, standing with a wry grin on his face, standing next to his brother. Then he said, "Hi, I'd like to rent these movies." Now, I had a coworker that saw I had a stack of movies to put back out, and she mentioned she would check them out, to which I kind of too aggressively shot back, "I got it." Turns out Mr. Combs had brought up every single one of his movies, and being a kid, I actually asked if he wanted to rent them, adding he would need a membership.
"Oh, Serge, you did not. Surely you realized he was jesting with you."
Yeah, what can I say? My brain was shattered that my favorite actor was standing in front of me. So, after dropping that stack of movies on the counter, I made my way over to Jeffrey Combs and his brother and shook both of their hands. I am happy to tell you, projectionist, and those of you listening to this podcast, Jeffrey Combs was absolutely charming and quite down to earth.
"Whatever did you have to discuss?"
I told him the exact same thing I told his brother, about how Reanimator was one of my first two rentals back in the day. I also mentioned how much my father and myself look forward to seeing him in new movies. In addition, I told him how much I loved Dr. Mordred and asked if there was a sequel on the way. Jeffrey Combs laughed and then very gently hit me with a truth bomb. It turned out that he had yet to receive payment for his acting in that film. If my memory isn't totally faulty, this was probably around a year after that film had been released on video. He passed the information to me with kid gloves, but he let me know that things weren't looking so good for him to appear in another Full Moon feature unless something changed quickly. Now, since he appeared in 1994's The Lurking Fear and the Albert and Charles Band produced Castle Freak in 1995, something must have changed. I shared with Jeffrey Combs that I wanted to be a director, thanks to my influences, which included Orson Welles, Rod Serling, Joe Dante, and Paul Verhoeven. We probably chatted for close to 10 minutes, but in truth, there really was a line forming behind Jeffrey Combs and his brother. Before he left, though, he took one of our flyers and asked me to write my address down. He said he had something special for me. Obviously, I did, and I can tell you, in all honesty, I was walking on cloud nine the whole rest of the day. Then, about a week later, I received a large manila envelope. I opened it up, and there was a black and white glossy of Jeffrey Combs, a production still taken on the set of Reanimator, of his character Herbert West holding up a syringe of reanimation formula with a questioning stare. In Sharpie, Jeffrey Combs wrote, "To Vic, thanks for being such a big fan. Herbert lives."
"Oh my, what did you do with it? Surely, it is somewhere safe,
Of course, projectionist. It's framed and hanging in my home, in a place of honor. By the way, I couldn't help but notice that the glossy had four tack holes in the corners. While I do not know this for a fact, I think this was probably Mr. Combs' personal photo. As in, he might have had it hanging up somewhere himself. Through the years, it's not like I stopped being a fan of Jeffrey Combs. And after leaving Curtis Mathis, I began work at the Razorback Theater. I was treated to his roles in 1996's The Frighteners, which we covered in a previous podcast, as well as 1998's I Still Know What You Did Last Summer, and of course, 1999's remake of William Castle's House on Haunted Hill, where he played the psychotic and vengeful Dr. Vonnegut. This was also the time that I was able to meet him for the second time. This was thanks to his appearing at the local Star Trek convention in my hometown, at our university. Better yet, he brought along Mark Alamo. The two not only had a wonderful Q&A about their careers and working on Star Trek Deep Space Nine, but afterwards they signed autographs. As Jeffrey Combs was signing a photo of Wayoon for me, I mentioned the video store I had worked at, and he stopped me. He remembered the encounter and wanted to make sure I had received that signed photograph. Later that evening, there was another treat, quite the memorable one at that, as both Jeffrey Combs and Mark Alamo performed selections of Shakespeare, although I was sad to learn when I asked Combs at the dinner table if they were doing anything for Macbeth, and found out that wasn't in the cards.
Who would have thought that in the small town where you live, you would have a brush with two such celebrities, Victor?
Oh, that's the tip of the iceberg, my friend. The upside of working at an upscale hotel for over 24 years is that you come in contact with all manner of celebrities.
Like who?
How about Sam Raimi?
The director? Why on earth would he be staying in that boarding house where you are employed?
Boarding house? Jeez. He was there due to Spider-Man 3, which had yet to be released at the time. He was showing about 15 minutes of the movie, the fight between Spider-Man and the Sandman. I'll save the full story for another show, but thanks to a big mess-up on a courier's part, I actually carried the two film canisters to the premiere of that sneak peek. I was actually escorted by armed security to the projection booth and personally handed it off to the studio's projectionist. I even had to sign off on it.
Were you allowed to stay and watch the clip?
I couldn't stay. I had to rush back to the hotel and finish up my shift. I did get a nice reward for delivering it, though. But yet again, I'll talk about that another time. Projectionist, I think that it brings us to the end of this matinee episode. Friends, thank you for listening to the show. These matinee episodes will not replace the regular monthly show. These little specials are just something that the projectionist and myself hope you will enjoy. Now, here is a clip of what we'll be talking about on the next Saturday Frights matinee podcast.
Don't be shy. Step a little closer. I've been waiting to welcome you and your friends. The name is Creepy. Uncle Creepy. I have much to tell. All the classic horror and sci-fi from Creepy and Eerie magazines, plus shocking new tales in Creepy comic book.
Friends, thanks once again for listening to the show. The music you heard at the beginning and ending of our podcast was provided by Peachy. If you have musical needs, you can contact him at peachy@retroist.com. My co-host, The Projectionist, has his own Facebook page, Projectionist Haunted Drive-In. He shares old movie posters and newspaper advertisements throughout the week. It's always neat to see what vintage thing he can dig up to share. As for myself, you can find me posting a couple times a day on not just the Saturday Frights Facebook page, but the Diary of an Arcade Employee page too, as well as the Retroist site. I even managed to find time to share some things on the Retroist Clubhouse on Facebook now and again. If you'd like to contact me with suggestions for future episodes, you can reach me at vicsage@retroist.com. Of course, we owe a great deal of gratitude to the Retroist himself, not just for hosting the podcast, but for creating a place online where those of us that enjoy things retro can get our daily fix. So, when you need your retro fix, and we all do, make sure to visit the Retroist. If you like the show, please consider subscribing and giving us a rating over on iTunes, as long as it lasts. We're also on Stitcher and Spotify, and it would really help spread the word if you could give us a good rating. Until next time, the vault is sealed.
This has been a Retroist production. Sleep well. and goodbye.